This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along. It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello holding the fort for you this week. Round 10 of our local basketball action is in the books, and it's a round that we could easily call Machado Madness, as Cairns Taipan star made his debut for the Mandurah Magic, resulting in the NBL One West featuring in the West Australian newspaper this week and setting the record for streaming numbers across the country in all of the NBL One conferences, as well as a sellout crowd at Willetton to see his debut against the Tigers. We'll have more on that as the show progresses. We'll speak to regular contributor Ben Ettridge a little bit later on. We've got Eastern Suns head coach Mark Utley to chat to as well after their win on the weekend. And we'll also speak with one of the emerging Eagles, Erin Fisher, for the women's program down there at East Perth. Of course, our Lost SBL segment is there as usual, and all the roundups, reviews and previews as we move ahead in NBL One West action. Let's take a quick look firstly at the women's results from the weekend. It all kicked off with a couple of fixtures on Friday night. The Perth Redbacks going down 71-84 against the Joondalup Wolves. Despite 25 points from Mac Dyer for the Redbacks, it was all the Wolves, with Kayla Steindl scoring 22, Amber Land chipping in with 12, and Rebecca Benson with 10 points. The closest game of the round saw the Stacey Barr-led Warwick Senators getting up over the Lakeside Lightning by just 3, 88-85. Barr led her team with 30 points, 12 rebounds and 6 assists for the Senators, while for the Lightning, Eisenbarger's 27 points and 17 rebounds kept them in the game. It was a more lopsided affair in Eton on Saturday night as the Southwest Slammers host the Perth Redbacks, with the Redbacks getting their second win of the weekend, 98-37. Jasmine Barrett was the only one reaching double figures for the Slammers, while for the Redbacks, Mac Dyer was her usual productive self with 20 points and 6 rebounds. She was ably assisted by the likes of Ashworth with 14 and 10, and Maddie Allen getting 10 points and a massive 23 rebounds. The Coburn Cougars women had a slow start on Saturday night at Wally Hagen and couldn't recover, going down to the Perry Lakes Hawks 74-45. Taylor Simmons was a bit of a lone hand scoring-wise for the Coburn Cougars with 18 points, but Jesse Edwards toiled hard inside. She had her work cut out for her, matching up on the bigs from the Hawks, including McKay with 15 points and a massive 22 rebounds. And when she rested, it was Burton and Donovan taking over. Burton with 12 and 9 and Donovan with 13 and 6. All 12 players for the Hawks seeing court time and getting on the scoreboard. Saturday night saw the Willetton Tigers continue their good form with a win over the Mandurah Magic, 66-53. Sharp and Lubke were massive. Sharp with 29 and 14 and Lubke 21 and 15 to pace the Tigers. In the final match of the round, the Lakeside Lightning went down to the Rockingham Flames 81-58. That was despite 25 from Eisenbarger to continue her big weekend. But it was the steady scoring of the likes of Chia Batoni with 17 and Bogue with 16 that saw Rockingham Flames get the result in that one. Those results from the weekend see the top four featuring the Joondalup Wolves, Rockingham Flames, Warwick Senators and Willetton Tigers. The emerging East Perth Eagles, who had a bye last weekend, and we'll chat with Erin Fisher a little bit later on in the show, are in fifth with a 6-4 record, followed by the Coburn Cougars, Perth Redbacks and the improving Perry Lakes Hawks in eighth. The Lakeside Lightning, Eastern Suns, Mandurah Magic and the Slammers round out the tail end of the table. We'll be back soon at the NBL One West radio show to take a look at the men's results from the weekend. We'll chat with Mark Utley from the Eastern Suns before too long. Erin Fisher's there from the East Perth Eagles women. And as usual, Ben Ettridge will give us his predictions for this weekend's action in the NBL One West.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West Radio Show. What an exciting time to be involved with basketball in this state. What was already a fantastic product under the SBL banner has already gone in leaps and bounds. And the likes of the addition of Scott Machado to the Mandurah Magic is just increasing that profile and resulting in record streaming numbers across the country. The Round 10 action from the weekend kicked off on Friday night with two fixtures. The Perth Redbacks getting up over the Joondalup Wolves 100-87. This was Tevin Jackson. Best offensive outing, 23 points on 10 of 17 shooting to go with 11 rebounds. Marshall Nelson made a sneaky debut for the Redbacks as well with 15 points, while for the Wolves, Cummings was the leading scorer with 19 points in the loss. In the other Friday night fixture, the Lakeside Lightning at home bested the visiting Warwick Senators. Bowie outstanding with 31 points on 13 of 18 shooting. Up in Geraldton, the East Perth Eagles had no answer for the Buccaneers. Thwaites worked hard for the Eagles with 17 points but lacked much support, while Mattiang Mo had his way with 26 points and 11 rebounds, and Ralph toiled hard as always with 13 points and 10 rebounds. The Southwest Slammers were no match for the Perth Redbacks down in Eton, and they went down 88-53. Mitch Keller worked hard for 21 points and 9 rebounds, but the Slammers' 20% shooting from downtown didn't help their cause, while for the Redbacks, the likes of Timms, Jackson and Gatorna Hargrave scored freely. At Wally Hagen, the Coburn Cougars found themselves on the wrong end of a slow start that they couldn't quite recover from. At quarter time, they were down 30-11, at half time, 55-23. And while they did come back in the fourth, the final result was in the Hawks' favour, 89-71. Pozoglou, a bit of a lone hand offensively for the Cougars, while for the Hawks, Clark led the way with 18 points, Ferguson had 16, and Leary chipped in with 11. The big one, of course, went down at Willerton Stadium as the Magic faced the Tigers. It was the debut of Cairns Taipans player Scott Machado. While he was massive with 31 points and ably assisted by Jeremy Grace with 21, Machado was unable to hit the game-tying three-pointer. For the victors, Damian Scott was massive with 31 points of his own at a 61% clip to go with 4 rebounds and 4 assists. The defense of Hampson was noted by his coach, while Mincherton emerged for 22 points for the Tigers. Willerton managing to maintain their recent unbeaten record and going to an 8-1 season record to sit third on the ladder. Up in the Goldfields, the Eastern Suns finally got a bit of luck to go their way, resulting in a 3-point win over the Giants. Johnson had a return to form with 27 points, while Hamish Cummings emerged for the Giants with 20 points, who were without Passava on the night. For the Rockingham Flames, Bjor exploded for 25 points and 11 rebounds, but it was in a loss to the Lakeside Lightning, who had big contributions from Armour with 25 points and 7 assists, and 26 points for Bowie, who backed up a big weekend after his 31 points on Friday night. And the final fixture of the round was a Sunday match at 2 p.m. up there in Geraldton between the Joondalup Wolves and the Buccaneers. This is a rematch of the 2019 Grand Final, of course, but this time it was the Wolves who came away with the chocolates after holding the Bucks to just 2 points in the fourth quarter. Before that time, it had been an epic battle with the likes of Mo getting 29 points, Ralph with 23, while for the Wolves, both Wade and Iliadis chimed in with 19 apiece. These weekend results see the likes of the Lightning, the Hawks and the Willerton Tigers all possibly stating a claim on the top spot at the moment. 4th through 8th includes the Warwick Senators, the Rockingham Flames, the Joondalup Wolves, the Perth Redbacks and the Mandurah Magic. The Goldfield Giants and the Geraldton Buccaneers sitting just outside the top 8 currently. And 11th through 14th all have 2 wins each, the Coburn Cougars, Eastern Suns, East Perth Eagles and the Southwest Slammers. We'll be back soon to speak with the head coach of the Eastern Suns, Mark Utley, after his second win on the weekend up there in the Goldfields against the Giants. This is the NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello holding the fort for you this week, but I am joined on the line by Mark Utley. He's the head coach of the Kalamunda Eastern Suns and a bit of a running mate of my usual running mate, Ben Ettridge. How are you doing, Mark?
Thanks for having me, Brett. I'm doing well, actually, after the long weekend in Kalgoorlie, but it's great to come home a winner.
Well, I thought we timed our chat with you pretty well, yes, because we always like to speak with people after a winning weekend where possible. And it did take you a little while to get that second win under the belt.
Yeah, we started off a lot slower than we actually planned for this year. We've got a number of players that are new to the team, and we're just unfortunate with some things that happened. We really liked our chances at the start of the year against the Buccaneers up in Geraldton, and then the Buccaneers down here. We would have had them twice in the first 3 weeks when they're a little bit undermanned, but as it turns out, we've only played them once. And then confidence is an amazing thing in basketball, and you've just got to work hard and build through the adversities that the season brings you.
Well, your match on the weekend against the Giants, it looked like you were overdue for a little bit of luck to go your way, and a lot of hard work in the background obviously as well. Fantastic to get that three towards the end of that game and get the win against the Giants.
I was certainly glad when I saw Dyson Lowe's three-pointer go through the bottom of the net with 1.7 seconds to go, which meant that we couldn't actually be beaten. It would have had to tie it, although I was panicking that one of my players was going to foul a three-point shooter and then put him to the line for the extra one in 1.7 seconds. But certainly in that timeout, I reiterated that wasn't an option. We're willing to go into overtime, but just don't foul a three-point shooter.
Some of your wins and losses have sort of rode on the form of Chris Johnson somewhat. It can be a feast or a famine in terms of Johnson at times. He certainly had a big one on the weekend, his 27 points and 9 rebounds pivotal.
Yeah, he was great on the weekend. He asked me what he needed to do to help me out, and I said I need him to get plus 25 and do a job on Kawani, and he really did that. Kawani, I think, scored 12 against other people throughout the rotation. Second half, he really went onto him in a more close-checking role and got 27 himself. It's been an inconsistent run with Chris, and he's certainly aware of that, but again, it's just us fitting into his style. And also, being a bigger import, bigger bodied import, it's been getting used to how the refereeing of him is this year, because we had a few, the game against, I think it was the Slammers, where he fouled out in a short period of time, and then other times there's been issues that he's probably getting a lot more attention from other players, and we need to work through that all together to help him out.
Just looking at the box score, we could see that for the Giants, Passava didn't play. Being on the ground there, did you hear anything more about his absence?
Yeah, I believe he has a sore ankle, and they're looking at getting him through. I think it was the paper said he had a fitness test that day, so I wouldn't be surprised if he plays this week. We're certainly... we don't want to see any player injured, but we're certainly glad they didn't have Julian Passava. He's certainly a tough cover, and it helps their team if they had him there. So with Damon Ballantyne looking like he's out for the season, Cooper Creek didn't play as well. They were undermanned in that sense, but you know, they had some players that really stepped up for them as well. And I thought when you look at it, Hamish Cummings was outstanding on the night, running the point for them, and they got productivity out of him. And a lot of their other guys certainly stepped up and played hard. And it was just a really good quality game going backward and forward between the two teams. And I enjoyed being a part of it.
It doesn't get any easier for you. You've got a double this coming weekend. You've got to go up against the Rockingham Flames. And then on the Sunday, it looks like you'll be facing the Warwick Senators at their home.
Yeah, and it's two teams that have had their inconsistencies as well. Both teams have a lot of firepower. So we're going to have to just concentrate on what we can do to limit their impact on the game. And then hopefully we're getting a bit of confidence in our offensive style, where we are pushing to get up a number of shots and a number of quick shots and stretching opposition defense. So hopefully that will hold us in good stead as we move forward. And this weekend certainly isn't an easy one. And then I think we follow with a few more other tough weekends in the next 2 to 3. So it's a real challenge for us guys of staying together and and working for that goal of continuing to push and improve.
Looking at your lineup in particular, I've seen quite a lot of your games. Donato's been shooting well this year, and Jermaine Maley is one who seems to have stepped up quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I think the last three games, Jermaine has been outstanding for us. He was given a challenge, and we moved into the starting lineup. And his statistics for that last three games, if you have a look at it, is, I think, double the productivity that we're getting for the rest of the season. So he's in good form at the moment. I really like the fact that he's a real competitor and he takes the game on. And after we had that loss to the Slammers in meetings, I just decided that, you know, we were going to concentrate on two of what my pillars are, and they are body language and communication on court. And Jermaine is that competitor that continues to make those around him better. So I've been pleased with the last three games that he's played for us.
Mark, if you're happy to stick with us, we might take a quick break here at the NBL One West Radio Show, and we'll talk more on the other side of this.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West Radio Show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you. I'm still joined on the line by the head coach of the Kalamunda Eastern Suns. It's Mark Utley. I wanted to focus a little bit on three-point shooting, Mark. Your team seems to have been happy enough to live and die by the three-point shot. Has that been by design, or are you just rolling with the flow there?
It has been by design. At the start of the year, we've seen sort of looked at where we were after the West Coast Classic, and I had been running a similar offense or offensive structure with slight tweaks for the last few years, and I was a little bit bored with it. We looked at it at going out, myself and Ben, and exploring what our options were, and we decided on the style that we're going with. It's taken a bit to embed it, but I actually think it was the right move for us in the long run. We've got a very young team, apart from Corey and Chris, who are both elder players and have that maturity. I think the next oldest in our team is 25 years old. So we really wanted to update sort of our playing style and where we're at to compete with the teams that, you know, have big imports and have big bodies. We wanted our bigs outside shooting. We started at the preseason looking really good, and we're all shooting well. And then the season starts, and we couldn't hit any shots, and that was sort of a disadvantage. So hopefully that will turn around. We certainly believe in our players' ability to shoot. It's just working for each other to get the right shots.
Yeah, certainly on the weekend you were pushing towards that 40% level, which has obviously helped you in that win over the Goldfield Giants.
Yeah, we will actually settle for above 30% from the three, because we believe that will then open up lanes to the basket there. But some of the games we've been down around in the 20s, and that just hasn't been able to get it done for us. And I think it's that combination of putting pressure on the ring as well as kicking out to those threes that is really what we want on the offensive end. So we need to be a little bit smarter with what we do, and that's part of our growth and our build as a team and as a men's program there. We run our men's program at the moment. We've made a change there that rather than be like a D-League and an under-20s and our NBL One West, we're running it so that our under-20s is really seen as a development. And over the next few weeks, we might see some of those under-20s players stepping up into NBL One West contracts. And Ben's working on their individual development, while my other assistant, Lockie, is working with our D-League team, which are having some teething issues, having a few players out. But we're all working on the same page with the same structure.
Balancing that youth with a couple of elder statesmen, as you mentioned. I imagine Corey Easley sort of suits your ethos pretty well. There's not too many three-point shots that he's ever seen that he didn't like the look of.
Yeah, it's a challenge at the moment for us. And I said to Corey on the weekend that I'd like him to start hitting one or two, because, again, he sort of went one for seven from the three-point line on the weekend as well. But the best thing about it is he's not thinking about his shots. And I know a quality guy like Corey, they'll start dropping. Where games before, he was trying to be unselfish and bring players in, where I know and I trust that Corey stepping onto good shots, he's eventually going to hit him and shoot his way out of that little bit of a slump that he's in at the moment.
Obviously, there's been a high-profile addition to the Mandurah Magic recently. Everyone already knows about Scott Machado coming in. And with the NBL winding down, there's likely to be a number of clubs that are looking to make new additions. Is there anything going on at Kalamunda that you can tell us about?
No, we have nothing new on the cards at the moment. We'd like to add someone. We're looking around to see what's available. We've got the resources to add another player, but it's just a simple case that they're hard to get at the moment with the NBL leaving, and sort of one that fits into where we're at as a club, whether it is, you know, we've won a few more games and we've got a chance to push into the playoffs, or is it better to spend the time in the development of those other guys moving forward? And we'll make that assessment coming up. But at this stage, we've got nothing on the cards in terms of players coming in, unless I can bring Josh Braun or Javian Blake in. We probably won't be able to do anything.
Sure, fair enough. And you're sitting at a 2-8 record at the moment. There's a few teams with only two wins, so you're certainly not alone in that regard. Is a push through to the finals still a realistic goal on your agenda?
Yeah, we always will. I could be 1-21, and I'd still think I was going to make the finals, because the competitor in me is we just play every game to win. And I think if we can put our processes in place, you know, we've lost some games that, you know, we can put down to teething problems, or we can look at where we're at. But I still want to push as much as we can into that lower level of the playoff run. And I think if we can improve and we can do that, that's really where our goal is at the moment.
We thank you very much for your time, Mark, and we wish you all the best for what's going to be a tough doubleheader on the weekend, the Rockingham Flames and the Warwick Senators.
No problems. I enjoyed it.
No worries. Appreciate your time, Mark. Have a good one.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Welcome back. Brett Costello with you. And this time, I'm joined on the line by Erin Fisher from the East Perth Eagles Women Program. And I've been calling them the emerging East Perth Eagles of late. They've really been on the improve, that's for sure. Welcome along, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm casting my mind back to 2019. At that time, we were doing the SBL Slam radio show. And I seem to recall having a celebration when the East Perth Eagles got their first win of the season. And it did take quite a while. It's been a pretty big turnaround in the next couple of years. And at the moment, you're at a 6-4 record, sitting in fourth spot on the ladder, and having recently, although you had a bye on the weekend, just been recently knocked off the Rockingham Flames as well. It's been quite a tumultuous time since then.
It has. We're hitting strides now, and it's really nice to see that a lot of the development that we've been putting in has been paying off, and we get the right people together. And yeah, we really like feeling a lot of momentum right about now.
Considering it has been such a significant turnaround, can you identify any sort of watershed moment or a few recruits or a few things that have happened that have really made the difference in this turnaround in what's really an 18 to 24 month period?
Yeah, well, I don't think we can look past much further to Mary Golding. She's a star, leading the league in scoring and just like an even better person. So she's been really great for us, and we've had a few people come in. Brianna Moyes is our point guard. She was with us last year during the shortened season, but didn't want to play because she was coming back from injury and kind of wanted to get herself really right for this season. And she's been invaluable for us, just such a great leader and, really driving it for us. And then Talia Fijo coming across as well. So, yeah, we've had a few recruits and kind of getting the right group of girls together. And it's really nice because they've come together and we all just seem to gel. No questions asked, that type of thing. So, yeah, it's been really, really good, like everything coming together like this.
Can you reflect back? We obviously mentioned about the bye last weekend for yourself, so you should be well rested in talking to us. But you did get that good win over the Rockingham Flames, so we're still second on the ladder and quite highly touted, you guys getting up 83-77.
Yeah, that was awesome for us. And then we pulled up the next night and played Willison at Willison as well, and we beat them as well. So you're talking about two top teams. So we definitely earned ourselves the bye weekend. I think we were feeling it a little bit, bodies are a bit sore, so it was definitely the right time to kind of take a little bit of a break and get everyone right for the second half of the season, where we hopefully just continue with the same sort of, you know, game.
Well, as you mentioned, already knocking off a couple of the highly touted teams in the Tigers and the Flames. This weekend, you'd be wanting to chalk up another win against the Southwest Slammers as well. I know there's a lot of development going on down there, but you never want to slip on those ones either, do you?
No, and you really do have the potential to. You know, I don't think you can take any team lightly in the league, especially not a countryside. They hustle hard and they do the little things, and you don't want to go easy on anyone. And yeah, obviously they're putting a lot into their development right now. But yeah, we'll definitely be, I think, rearing to go. I think everyone's pretty excited to get back into training this week and get ready for the game.
You've mentioned some of the new players who've come on board, but you've also been working with a first-time head coach, I guess, as well. How's that experience been?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Me and Blake's good. We get to have a few honest conversations, and he is really open to feedback from everybody. And I think he's doing a really great job, you know, helping everyone gel well together. And yeah, the way we're going about things and our effort, and you know, even this past week with managing people's injuries and that type of things. So yeah, like Blake's doing a really great job. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, we wish you the best of luck for your resurgent 2021 season. And if you're happy to stick around with us, we're going to look at all of the forthcoming round 11 action for this coming weekend in the NBL 1 West Women. We're with Erin Fisher, and we'll be back on the other side of this.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL 1 West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL 1 West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL 1 West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL 1 West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL 1 West Radio Show.
It is the NBL 1 West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you. I'm joined by Erin Fisher from the East Perth Eagles women's program. The resurgent East Perth Eagles currently sitting fourth on the ladder with a 6-4 record. Take a look at some of the games for this coming weekend. The Southwest Slammers kick it off down at Eaton Rec Centre against the Willetton Tigers. This may be a tough one for the Slammers, Erin.
Yeah, I think it will be a little bit tough for the Slammers. Yeah, I don't know if they'll have much luck against Willow. They're a pretty tough side to play against, and the likes of Alex Sharp and Sam Lovey, you know, they're quality players. I reckon Slammers might struggle with this one.
Also on Friday night, the Coburn Cougars, who had some great form going into the weekend's game against the Hawks but suffered a heavy defeat there, will be travelling to Lakeside to take on the Lightning. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think they'll be ready to go after their loss to the Hawks as well, and they'll be wanting to bounce back to that. They're in just about the middle of the ladder as we are, and looking to get a win against Lakeside. I'd probably tip them against Lakeside for that one even.
The Rockingham Flames will host down there at Mike Barnett Sport Complex the Eastern Suns.
Yeah, I think same thing with Rockingham. They'll be looking to get another win, and it's always tough to play all the way in Rockingham as well. So, yeah, probably Rockingham might take that one.
The Joondalup Wolves up there at HBF Arena on Saturday night will host the visiting Rockingham Flames.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think maybe Joondalup might take that one, especially Rockingham having to back it up in a doubleheader and go all the way up to Joondalup the next day. So, yeah, that'll be a good matchup, though. We'll see how Taya Burrows and Chibar bounce back from the game from the night before.
We already touched on this one. The East Perth Eagles are hosting the Southwest Slammers at Herb Graham Rec Centre. That'll be a 5 p.m. tip-off there. And the Southwest Slammers doing an unusual road journey after having faced the Willetton Tigers at home on the Friday. They've then got to travel up and get you guys as well, which certainly won't help their cause, I don't imagine.
Yeah, no, that might be pretty tough for them. That is a very interesting doubleheader for them.
Also on Saturday night, the Perry Lakes Hawks, who are starting to catch some form, will host the Perth Redbacks there at Bendat Basketball Centre. Women tipping off at 6 p.m.
Yeah, this one will be very interesting. I wouldn't even know who to tip for this one. I think Perth Redbacks will really struggle with the height of the Hawks and their kind of inside actions and how they really like try to get it inside. But their guards are getting good in there. But yeah, I think Maddie Allen will have her work cut out for her with all the bigs at Perry Lakes. That'll be an interesting game, that one.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, and that's exactly how it played out in their opening fixture when the Hawks got the win against the Redbacks. The Hawks can just continue to fire those bigs, and once Matty Allen's not there, you've obviously got the scoring punch of the likes of Mac Dyer. It soon drops off in terms of size, at least anyway, at the Redbacks. Yeah. Looking at Warwick Stadium on Sunday, the Warwick Senators will host the Eastern Suns. That's also their second game of the weekend as they travel to Warwick. It's a midday tip-off there on Sunday.
I think Senators are in pretty good form. They've snatched a couple wins as of late. And, I think Suns will struggle to back that one up. And, yeah, Warwick are looking pretty good moving forward.
Well, Stacey Barr certainly doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. She's had some big scores of late.
Yes, for sure. She's a quality player. She's just so hard to guard. Obviously, a previous league MVP, it's going to be a tough matchup for Suns, to kind of get that one.
Well, thanks so much for your insights, Erin. You can check out all of those details at the nbl1.com.au website or download the NBL app and then surf to NBL1 West Women. Once again, we wish you all the best for the rest of the season. Thanks so much for getting involved in the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Good luck to the Eagles, the emerging Eagles in 2021.
Thank you.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello with you, and now I'm joined on the line by regular contributor Ben Ettridge. How are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brett. Good to be back on and doing it a bit remotely, but yeah, we'll get through it, and there we go.
We've already spoken to your running mate at the Suns, Mark Utley. He was, of course, a little up and about after clocking the second win on the weekend.
Yes, he's very happy with the boys and their performance up in Kalgoorlie. Any win on the road up there is a bonus, and the Giants are a little bit undermanned, but our guys stood tall, and Dyson Lowe bearing that corner three at the end of the game was just magnificent for us. So, yeah, he would be very happy.
Well, after the round that was dubbed Machado Madness, let's look ahead to round 11 this upcoming weekend. It kicks off on Friday night down there at Eaton Rec Centre. The men tipping off at 8:30 p.m. as the Southwest Slammers host the Willerton Tigers off the back of that big win over the Machado-led Mandurah Magic. It can't be anything too good for the Slammers out of that one.
Adam Nina's men are looking very good. They handled the hype in the full stadium on the weekend with Scott Machado in the house, and they played very well. And again, it was their youngsters stepping up and filling those roles that he needed. And Michael Vigor returning to form in the middle. I think the matchup of him and Mitch Keller will be great. But I think there's too much firepower there, and the Tigers are playing too well at the moment, so they'll get the win there.
The Lakeside Lightning host the Coburn Cougars, 8:30 p.m. tip-off as well on Friday night there at Lakeside Rec Centre. The Cougars really looked all out of sorts against the Hawks on the weekend. Can they do any better against the Lightning?
I listened to your call in this game and was very impressed, and like you say, I actually flicked over because people were asking what's happened down at Coburn, and I think it's going to be the tale of two different styles again. The Lakeside Lightning, who can pour on points very, very quickly, and the Cougars, who just be seeming to struggle to find the bottom of the net at the moment. So Lakeside Lightning, with too much firepower, will run away with this one quite easily, I believe.
The final of the Friday night fixtures, one that's close to home for you. The Rockingham Flames hosting the Eastern Suns down at Mike Barnett Sports Complex, also an 8:30 tip-off for the men.
As we know, winning form is good form, and the boys will be up and about, and they'll be confident in this one. However, I think the Flames will be just a little bit too big across the board for us. Their rebounding and the way they attack the glass will go a long way to determine this one. And Chris Johnson versus Greg High will be a good matchup. But I just think the Flames will have too much on the boards and dominate the paint for us in that one, and they'll get the win down there.
Even though the Coburn Cougars will be into their second match across the weekend, they do return home on the Saturday night to Wally Hagen, and they host the Geraldton Buccaneers, and I imagine they'd be desperate for a win, particularly if they do go down on the Friday night.
Yeah, and look, two teams that really struggled offensively last weekend, as we saw the Bucks, a two-point quarter in NBL One West is probably the all-time low. And especially for a team that has someone like Aaron Ralph on it to only score 2 points in a quarter is not great. I think the travel down might take its toll. The Cougars on the back of a doubleheader would be looking to get a win after maybe not getting it done on the Friday night.
Also on Saturday, the Joondalup Wolves will host the Rockingham Flames up at HBF Arena. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off for the men.
Wolves struggled the last time they came back from a road trip, and when they had to play that doubleheader and then the Tuesday night game, they really struggled to get up for that one. And I know the Flames will have played us on the night before. However, I think it'll just start to take its toll. Those veteran guys locked some big minutes on the weekend in that fourth quarter against the Bucks, and I think the Flames are starting to get that consistency that they're looking for, and they'll take the win in this one.
Two of the teams towards the foot of the ladder, each with only two wins, the East Perth Eagles and the South West Slammers will face off at Herb Graham Rec Centre Saturday night, 7 p.m. Well, one of them at least is going to get a third win now.
As we've seen, when these teams are facing off against each other towards the end of the ladder, they tend to be really, really hard fought and really close, based on the skill and the development that these teams are at. I really like what Bunbury's doing and the way Wirtho's got him playing. And I think that they'll get the win in this one. Mitch Keller leading the way with a double-double.
Good call. I like it. Let's see how that one plays out when you're back in the studio next week, and we'll see what happens. The Goldfield Giants, and if you are listening in up in the Goldfields, I recommend you get along to Neil Hansen Basketball Stadium, because the Machado Magic Train is coming to town. It's a Saturday, 7 p.m. tip-off, and it's your chance to see a seriously quality player alongside all of the Mandurah Magic lineup.
What an amazing opportunity. Someone that probably comes to Perth twice a year to play. And if you're lucky enough to get down from Kalgoorlie to see him play at NBL level, you're probably among the few. So be able to have him playing in your home stadium, I expect a sold-out stadium up there. Very, very tough one. If the Giants have everyone back, Pasava especially, he seems to be their main focal point towards the basket. Him being back and just the overall size and length of the Giants, I think they'll be able to worry Machado and Grace like the Tigers did on the weekend, and I think the Giants will get the win up there against the Magic.
Oh, big call. Okay, let's see how that one rolls. On Saturday night as well, 7 p.m. at Willetton Basketball Stadium, the Tigers will host the Senators, a couple of teams towards that upper end of the standings.
Yeah, the Senators have seemed to have faltered a little bit in recent weeks, whether it's the loss of their court general in Corbin Rowe out with an injury, and they're sort of still relying on Ethan Elliott, who we know is a quality player, but going up against the might of Willetton at the moment, I think they would have won the night before, and they'd have a two wins on the weekend well and truly in their sights. So I'm going to tip the Tigers at home in this one.
Can we expect that Warnie will return to the Senators after the end of the NBL campaign?
I'm unsure to that. I know with the shortened off-season, the Wildcats are keen for a few of their guys to have some time off, especially ones that have sort of battled injury throughout the season. And it's solely going to be up to them. If they would like him to play, then he'll be there. I know last year they supported it. Whether or not this year, as I said, with the short off-season, the quick turnaround, they're going to wrap a few guys in cotton wool, especially given the way that injuries have ravaged them in this final series. So it'd be great to see him on the floor. However, yeah, it's going to be determined, as we know, by the Red Army and what they decide.
The Perry Lakes Hawks host the Perth Redbacks on Saturday night, 8 p.m, tipping off down there at Bendat Basketball Centre. A particularly interesting matchup, the return of CJ Jackson and also Tevin and Denzel into the Hawks nest.
Probably one of the teams that can match up really well against the Hawks. You know, Tevin Jackson is a big guard and goes well against Ben Purser. Lewis Timms is a great matchup inside for Lewis Thomas and Andrew Ferguson. So the addition of Marshall Nelson is the X factor here, and can he be contained? And if the Redbacks continue their hot shooting like they did against the Wolves, I think it could be their game to take. However, being at Bendat and opposing teams struggling to shoot the ball sometimes when they come in, I'm going to tip the Hawks at home in this one.
The Redbacks then have to back up at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre at midday on Sunday after playing on the Saturday night when the Buccaneers come to town.
I think the Redbacks have too much firepower on a Sunday for the Bucks, and they'll get this one quite easily.
And then the final match for the round, also a Sunday fixture. It's 2 p.m. at Warwick Stadium. The Eastern Suns will face the Senators.
Really tough doubleheader for us this weekend. And I think the Senators, again, with their size and their overall depth, will be a little bit too much for us to handle. Although both teams playing a doubleheader, will be a war of attrition, and it'll come down to, basically who's making shots at the end, and I think that's going to be the Senators. So unfortunately, the Senators will get the win in this one.
Well, thank you very much for your input as always, Ben. We'll look forward to seeing you around the grounds on the weekend perhaps. And if you'd like to check out any of those informations online, whether to get to your local stadium or association or simply to check out the live streams, it's nbl1.com.au or check out the NBL app. Until I see you next week, take it easy, Ben.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Talk to you soon.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
We're back to wrap things up on the NBL One West Radio Show, but first we take a look at our fantastic Lost SBL segment. This was our local league from 1989 right through to 2019. And this week, we're casting our minds back to 1996. In the men's competition, the Southwest Slammers went back-to-back in a once-off grand final against the Buccaneers, getting up 103-86. The Bunbury City Slammers, as they were known back then, were the minor premiers just one game ahead of the likes of Coburn Cougars and the Geraldton Buccaneers. The Slammers defeated the Hawks 2-0 in the semi-final, while the Buccaneers got up over the Giants 2-1 in their semi. The Swan City Mustangs and the Albany Raiders were still around at that time, but they didn't make the playoffs in 1996. Speaking of the Raiders, they had the MVP that year with Gerald Jarman taking out the award, while Jeff Anderson was the coach of the year. While in the women's competition, it was the Swan City Mustangs, after being the runners-up in 95, were able to take out the title in 1996. They defeated the Hawks 2-0 in a semi-final and then took out the Tigers 66-61 in the once-off grand final. 1996 saw Katrine Linson take out the women's MVP after also winning that award back in 93. The coach of the year for the women's competition in 96 was Steve Jenkins. We hope that you've been enjoying our look back at the State Basketball League, our local league, the SBL, for 30 years. Of course, we're looking forward now. We're excited about the NBL One West and everything that comes with it, including the live broadcast, the likes of Scott Machado joining us over here in the West. And I've got a feeling more future signings to come in the weeks to come as well. Please do check out all of the details over at nbl1.com.au. Don't forget to check out podcasts and replays of this show. You can catch us on the likes of Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn and Spotify. Just search for NBL One West Radio Show, and we'll be talking to you again next week.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.